Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah, Daf Yud Aleph, and we're going to begin on Daf Yud Amud Beis, 26 lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mutar Lishon Bekila B'Sukkah. One may sleep in a bed with a canopy in a sukkah, Api Sheyesh L'Gag, even though it has a flat roof, V'Hu She'en Gvoy Asara, as long as it doesn't have a height of 10. Most Rishonim explained, when we speak about a height of 10, we're speaking about from the bed to the top of the canopy. Although the Magen Avraham seems to say that we look at the floor to measure the 10 tefachim. However, the Gemara soon will say that we measure from the bed, and therefore the Mefarshim and the Magen Avraham make the following difference. They say the following nafkamina. It matters where the canopy begins. If the canopy begins on the bed, we start measuring it from the bed. If the canopy starts on the floor, we measure it on the floor. Says the Gemara Toshma, that says a Braisa, Hayoshim Bekila Basukka, La Yotzi Yedei Chavosoi. The Braisa says explicitly that you can't be Mekayim Mitzvah Sukkah when you sleep in a Kila. Answers the Gemara, Hakamai Skinan, that Bryce is discussing a situation, Shigvaya Sar, when Stan Tfakam tall, that Shmuel agrees to. Meisvei asked the Gemara from another Bryce, the Bryce says, Hayoshin Tachsam Mita Basukkah, if somebody sleeps under the bed in a Sukkah, La Yotza, in Dechavotzai, so under a bed is the same as a Kila. And the Bryce says that you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah. Says the Gemara, HaTargum Shmuel. Shmuel says that that bed is a mita gvaya sara, when it's 10 tefachim tall. That Shmuel agrees is unacceptable. Toshma. So the Gemara brings another braisa. Oisha pira gabba kenoifis. Kenoifis, as we described yesterday in the Mishnah, and you could see it in diagram 61 on page 21, is four posts with a cover on top of it. Arshapir's Akabi Knoifis Psulim. So it says that when you have a canopy with a flat roof, it's Asur. Answer the Gemara again. Hasam Nami the Gvaya Asur. It's 10 tefachim tall, and that's why Shmuel agrees it's Asur. Ask the Gemara of Alay Ketani Hachi, I'll prove to you that the Knoifis is Asur even when it's not 10 tefachim tall. The Tanya. The Braisa says, Niklitin Shnayim. Nikleta means that there are two posts, diagram 62. Knoifis is arba. Pierce agaba knoifis, if you put a canopy on top of the four post, psula. Agabi nikletin kshera, but on top of the nikletin, it's kosher, or vachla in nikletin gvoim na mita asara. As long as they're not higher than 10 tefachim. Michlal, what is obvious after learning this braisa? The knoifis, api sheng gvoim asara, that a flat roof, even when it's not 10 tefachim tall, is usur. Yet Shmuel said that even a flat roof is usur only when it's 10 tefachim tall. Answers the Gemara. Shani kenoifis, the kviya. There's a difference between a flat roof of a kenoifis and a flat roof of a kila. A flat roof of a kenoifis is more established. It's more kviya. And therefore, even if it's not 10 tefachim tall, it's usur. A flat roof of a kviya, of a kila, is not that firm, and therefore requires 10 tefachim. Ask the Gemara, v'rei sukkah al gabba sukkah. We discussed yesterday the situation of one sukkah on top of another sukkah, that you're dealing with a situation that the second sukkah is kviya. And yet, amar Shmuel, kechsher kach psula, that we said, that when do we have an issue of a situation of a sukkah gabi sukkah? So Shmuel said only if the top sukkah is 10 tefachim tall. So you see that even by something kaviyah, you need 10 tefachim. Yet we just said that something is kaviyah, like the kinoifis, doesn't need 10 tefachim. Answers the Gemara. Amri. Hosom del mifsal sukkah. There we have one sukkah on top of another sukkah. And we want that the upper sukkah should, we don't want, but the upper sukkah affects the bottom sukkah. It's only basara. Hacha, in our Gemara, it's a different subject altogether. The issue is l'shvuya oila. does this kenaifus, is it considered a separate oil or not? And therefore the halach is, batzim asar, even when it's less than 10 tefachim tall, if it's kaviya, nami have a oil. Before we begin the next gemara, just a word of introduction. The halach is that when someone is not wearing any clothing, he's not allowed to say krishma. There is another concept which Taishta says is not relevant to our sugya, and that is that even if a person is wearing clothing, if there's nothing separating the upper part of his body and the lower part of his body, that's called Liba Royas Erva, which we discussed in Masechta Brachas, you're also not allowed to say krishma. But that's not today's subject. Here we're discussing a person who's not wearing any clothing. So if, for example, there was someone not wearing any clothing and he sticks his head outside the window, so his head and the rest of his body are not in the same area, he still can't say krishma since he's not dressed. And when you're not dressed, you're not allowed to say krishma. On the other hand, if somebody's wearing clothing, then he could say krishma. The subject that we're going to discuss is when somebody is in a specific area, is it considered that he's in a house not wearing clothing and can't say krishma, or is it considered that he's being covered and he can't say krishma? So says Shmuel, Amrav Tachlifi Baravim Amr Shmuel, Hayoshim Bekila Orim, if somebody is laying in this canopy without any clothing, Maitzi Roish Chutz L'Kila, he could just stick his head outside of this kila, V'Kaya Krishma, he could say Krishma, because the kila is not considered a room, the kila is considered clothing. Meisvei asked the Gemara, there's a brayse that says Hayoshim Bekila Orim Lo Yotzi Roishay Chutz L'Kila Yikra Krishma, that when you're in a kila, it's not considered like you're wearing clothing, it's like you're in a room without any clothing, and therefore you can't read Krishma. Answers the Gemara, Hakim My Skin in Shkvaya Sara, there's a difference if the kila is 10 tefachim tall or not. If it's 10 tefachim tall, it's like standing naked in a room and you can't read krishma. If it's less than 10 tefachim, the kila is like a blanket. And the halacha is, if somebody's covered with a blanket, he could stick his head outside of the blanket and say krishma. Hachanam stop. It says the Gemara, that's what makes sense to say. Midik Tani say, for the continuation of this price, says, Holomazadoyme, what can this be compared to? Loimid Bebeser Orim, he's standing in his home without any clothing. Shloyotzi Roshe Chutz L'Chaloy, like we said before, you shouldn't be able just to stick your head outside the window. V'yuka Krishma. So the way the Mashah explains the Gemara, generally a room is 10 tefachim tall. That's why, by being in a room, even if you stick your head outside the window of the room, you can't say krishma. The same thing a kila, it makes a difference if it's 10 tefachim tall or not. Shma mino. However, says the Gemara, given the nature of a room, or bayis nami, a room, af bish en gvoya asara, even if you'll have a room that's not 10 tefachim tall. However, kivin the kviya, it's an established place, olahu, it's considered a separate oil, the loigarami kanifis, and therefore it's no worse than a kanifis, and therefore if a person is in a room, as low as that room should not be, and he's not wearing any clothing, even if he puts his head outside the window, he cannot say krishma, because it's considered that he's not dressed. Lashon Achrina, there's another version, and the way the Rosh explains, this Lashon Achrina is not arguing on the previous Lashon, it's just looking at this from a different perspective. Amri lo Amr Yehuda Mishmul, Muta Lishim Akilas Chasana B'Sukkah, one may sleep in a kila, even though he's covered with the canopy, Lefish Ein Lo Gag. So the way we understand it is as follows. Till now we were focused on the height of the kila. And we said, if the kila is less than 10 tefachim, then it's not a problem. Now we're not talking about the height. Now we're talking about the roof. And he's saying that if the roof is not a flat roof, but rather the roof comes to the point, Afar Pisha Gvaya Asara, even though it's 10 tefachim tall, a pointy roof, if it's not a flat roof, is not considered a roof. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says a braisa, Hayoshim Mekila Besukkah, Lo Yotzi Yedei Chavosoi. So you see that you're not. It says the Gemara, Hakam Ma'iskin, and what kind of kila is that braisa speaking about? B'sheyesh Le'gag, it has a flat roof. Toshma, again a braisa that we said earlier, Nekliten Shnai. The klitin means that it has two posts. Kenoifis is arba. Pierce agaba kenoifis, if somebody put a roof over the kenoifis, psulim. Agaba kenoifis on the two posts, kshera, or vach, like nekliten gavoyim and amita asar tfachim, as long as they're not 10 tfachim tall. What's the deek in the braisa? If it is 10 tefachim tall, psula, you're not allowed to sleep in it. Even though it doesn't have a roof. We just said if it doesn't have a flat roof, it's never an issue. Answers the Gemara, shani nekliten, the kvi. Nekliten and kila are not the same. Nekliten are more kavua than a kila. Ask the Gemara, if you're saying that nekliten are kvi, lavik knoifis. And just like by knoifis we established, even if it's less than 10 tefachim, you can't lay in that in the sukkah. So the nekliten should have the same din. Answers the Gemara, legabi knoifis lo kvi, legabi kila kvi. So the way we have to understand the Gemara is that there are three different types of structure. Kinoifis is always kavua, and therefore makes no difference how tall it is. You can't lay in that in the sukkah. Nekliten is less kavua than a kinoifis, more kavua than a kila. And therefore, once the nekliten are 10 tefachim tall, you can't lay in the sukkah. Kila is even less kavua, and therefore the only time you may not lay in the kila is if it has a flat roof and has 10 tefachim. Absent those two requirements, it's not an issue. Dorosh Rabba Rav Huna. Mutar lishum kila. One may sleep in a kila in a sukkah. Abi sheyesh legag, even though it has a roof. Abi shegvaya sara. He's even more makel. Even though it's 10 tefachim tall, and even though it has a flat roof, it's mutter. Command, according to whom does this go? According to Rabbi Yehuda. Doma, le'osa ayel arai, unvat lo'yo kava. Rabbi Yehuda is the man Doma, who we have discussed a number of times in Amasechta, that holds that a sukkah is an oil kava. A kilo, even when it's 10 tefachim tall, and even when it has a flat roof, is an oil arai, and an oil arai cannot be stronger than an oil kava, and one may sleep in a kila. Amar the Tanan, and the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. Amar Yehuda, Nohagim Hayinu Lishin Takas Amita. We used to sleep under the bed, Bifnei Haskenim, in front of the Zakenim. So you see, that doesn't make a difference. Ask the Gemara, V'lei Malach Rabbi Yehuda. So why does the Gemara have to give us this whole explanation of Lo Yosei Ayel Arai Mevatel Ayel Kava? Just say that you're allowed to sleep in any type of bed. Answers the Gemara, Iyam Malach Rabbi Yehuda. If the Gemara would have just said, Allah Rabbi Yehuda, have minahani milim mita. Under a bed, you're always allowed to sleep, no matter what the circumstances are. Why? Beds are made to sleep on them, not under them. So somebody sleeps under a bed, it's not considered that he's sleeping in a real distinct area. Avakila, a canopied bed, through a toicha suya, it's made to be slept on with the canopy over it. Perhaps we should say that that's considered that you're sleeping in a different area, and therefore even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that you can't sleep in the sukkah that way. Kamash Malon, Tamid Rabbi Yehuda. That's why the Gemara teaches us that what is the basis for Rabbi Yehuda's psak? The also oil arai, the impermanent kila cannot be stronger mevatel oil kava, and therefore loishna mita makes no difference if you sleep under the bed. The loishna kila, or you sleep in the kila, it is permissible. However, according to us, Taisa says, you cannot sleep in the kila when it has 10 tefachim and a flat roof. Why? Because we hold that the sukkah is an oil arai, and not like Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, I saw interesting shayla la'aloch lemaisa. We hold that the sukkah is oil arai. What happens when one on sukkahs, the shayla nebuch, happens? It's a wind or a rain, and yischak falls in. So are you allowed to, on yontif, put the schach back on top of the sukkah? Because although the halach is that on Shabbos Yontif you're not allowed to make an oil, but this is an oil arai. So an oil arai you're allowed to make Shabbos Yontif. So the Shoyle Meshev says, yes, we hold the sukkah as an oil arai. However, says the Shoyle Meshev, this oil arai is a very significant oil arai. It's a sukkah. And even though normally one may make an oil arai on Shabbos Yontif, this type of oil arai they're not allowed to, and he says if your schach falls in, you're not allowed to replace it on your sukkah on Shabbos and Yontif, and the Mishnah Berurah paskens that way. Says the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues discussing the schach. And the first thing the Mishnah teaches us is a din that we really already encountered, is that schach that's mechubber, that's connected to the ground is disqualified. Hidla es hagefen. If somebody went and spread out on top of the sukkah vines, or the last, it's a gourd that has a lot of leaves, or it's a kisim, it's like ivy, v'sichach agaba, and then he puts schach on top of it, psula. So the Rishonim explain that the Bryce is teaching us not only a grapevine, which is significant, but even a gourd, and even plain ivy are always disqualified, because anything with chubber is disqualified as schach. Because we think maybe since it's not significant, even though it's attached, it should make a difference. V'sichach al-gaba. So there's a machlokes Rishonim how to understand this line of v'sichach al-gaba. The Reino Tam learns v'sichach al-gaba that the consideration here is because you started first with the pasul sukkah, with the pasul schach, and then on top of it you put kosher schach. But what would be if you first had kosher schach? According to Reino Tam, even if on top of it you put non-kosher schach, it won't affect the status of that sukkah. The Ran disagrees. He says it doesn't make a difference. Rather, the Ran learns of Sichach Agaba doesn't mean on it, it means next to it. That you have a sukkah that part of it has this kosher schach, and part of it has the non-kosher schach. V'mhoi is Sichach Harimen. Therefore, if according, we're going to learn like the Ran, if the majority of the sukkah has kosher schach, even though you have an area that has non-kosher schach, the sukkah is kosher. Oishe Kotzitzot, or if you cut off the schach that was connected, so now it's no longer connected and no longer a possible schach, kshera. Zaklal. This is the rule. Kosh mekabel tuma. The Mishnah teaches us the rule of what are the requirements for schach. Kosh mekabel tuma. Anything that is mekabel tuma or the ein gedulim in the earth doesn't grow from the ground, ein mesach kimbo. You're not allowed to use for schach. The kodav shem mekabel tuma. Anything that doesn't is a mekabel tuma, the gedulim and aretz, and does grow from the ground, mesachchem boy, you may use for schach. So Ritva explains, normally, when we have the word zeh klal in a Mishnah, zeh klal means that we're reviewing something that we learned previously. And in fact, the Gemara usually asks, zeh klal asu yemai, what did the Mishnah need to repeat? So this is different. This zeh klal is teaching us new rules. What are the requirements of schach? And that's why there is no kash in the Gemara, zeh klal asu yemai. Tver Yisrael asks, isn't this last part of the Mishnah redundant? First the Mishnah says, what is not kosher? And then says, what is kosher? But it's really the two sides of the same coin. So the Tver Yisrael explains, if the Mishnah would have only said, kosher mekabel tuma, ve'en gedulim in aretz, we would think that if only has both deficiencies, it's not it's mekabel tuma, and it doesn't grow from the ground. But let's say it only has one deficiency, it's still kosher. That's why the Mishnah repeats itself, that you have to have both things. It has to be gedulim and aretz, and not mekabel tuma, and only then is a kosher schach. Oh, so I had the same question when I went to Tveres Yisrael, but he doesn't ask the question. The Aruch HaShulchan asks, what does our Mishnah have to teach us this thin, that mechubber is not kosher for schach? He asks, isn't that something that we learned in the Mishnah Daf Tes? The Mishnah Daf Tes said that if you have a sukkah under the tree or under your home, it's possible because it's mechubber. So why is the Mishnah teaching us the same din twice? Answers the Aruch HaShulchan, that if I only had that Mishnah, I would think that the psul is only if you first had non-kosher schach and you put on top of it the kosher schach, like Rabbeinu Tam. But perhaps if you have first the kosher schach and then you put on top of it non-kosher schach, it should not be a problem. So that's why I need two mishnayos to teach us that we have the issue of mechubber in both circumstances. Al pidrush, the Shem Shmuel says a beautiful explanation why mechubber, why something connected to the ground is posel schach. He says, what is the significance of a sukkah? He says the significance of a sukkah is that wherever we are, we were God. We don't have to be in a base medrash. We don't have to be in base knesses. Mechubber means that you're connected. One would think, well, only when you're connected to the base knesses, the base medrash, are you with God. But that's just the opposite of what the sukkah teaches us. The sukkah teaches us that even when we're talish, we're not in the base medrash. We're outside. The Shekhinah is still with us. And that's why mechubber is possible. One of the types of disqualifications that there are for a sukkah is tassav leimana osui, that when you place the schach on the top of the roof, it has to be a material that's kosher. That has to be kosher. If you put it on and then afterwards you turn it into kosher, that's called tassav alay min asr. So Yosef, Rav Yosef Kameder of Huna, V'yosef Kama, Oshe Kitzson, Amishna said that if you apply the schach onto the sukkah and it was still attached and then you cut it off, it's kshera. Omer Rav, so Rav said tzarech l'aneya. You have to move around those pieces of branches because when you apply them, they were pasul schach, so you have a problem with tassav alay min asr. Omer Rav Huna, Hamr Shmu, Hashmu Amro. This din Shmu said, "I'd rinner Rav Yosef Apei." So Rav Yosef turned around to show he was upset with what he said. Vamalei, "Otam mikamina the loch the loyamr Shmu." That I say Shmu didn't say it. I quoted Rav, but that doesn't mean that Shmu doesn't agree. Amr Rav, perhaps Rav said it. Vamr Shmu. So what are you trying to correct me? Amalei Rav Huna said, "This is what I meant to say. Hach kamina loch. What I meant to tell you was the Shmu Amro." It's only Shmuel that holds you have to move around each piece. V'loy Rav. Rav holds you do not have to move around each piece. The Rav, Achshuri Machsha. Rav says that even if you don't move around the pieces, it's not a consideration of Tassav Eloi Menasri. And the Gemara is going to prove how we know Rav holds that way. So first of all, Rashi asks, if according to Rav, one puts Schach that was Mechubra on top of his sukkah, and he just cuts it off, it's already sufficient. So we know that the Torah talks about Tassav Alay Min Asri. So what, according to Rav, is the situation of Tassav Alay Min Asri? So Rashi says, according to Rav, the case of Tassav Alay Min Asri is if you have a haystack, and somebody goes and empties out the inside of the haystack, and now you have a hut. That Rav will agree is Tassav Alay Min Asri. However, when you had this kosher schach, so it was mechubra, and you just cut it off, that's not an issue of Tassav Alay Min Asri. But according to Shmuel, you have to move every piece. Says the Sfas Emes, our sukkah that we discussed in the Mishnah had a combination of kosher schach and non-kosher schach. So what do you have to move? Do you have to move the non-kosher schach, or do you also have to move the kosher schach? Says the Sfas Emes, you only have to move the kosher schach, the non-kosher schach. The kosher schach is kosher. The fact that it was intertwined with non-kosher schach doesn't affect it. Moreover, there's a machloikis achroinim. What has to be moved? Does all the non-kosher schach have to be moved? Or do we only have to move as much to make a kosher schach, sukkah, zayin al zayin? Or do we have to move all of it? It seems that halacha says that you have to move all of the non-kosher schach, and the halacha seems to say that you should move each piece individually, not just pick them up together. Each piece should be picked up and put down. I saw a very big chiddush from Yosher ben Soloveitchik. He says, although we paskind that when a sukkah is made, we pass like Beis Hillel, we learned the Gemara on Daf Tes, that the sukkah does not have to be made l'shem sukkah, as long as the sukkah is made l'shem tzeil, that it should serve as a protection, it's enough. Says Rav Yosher Ber, that's when you're making a real sukkah. You're building a hut, and you're putting schach on it. So just having l'shem tzeil is enough. Here, you didn't make the sukkah l'shem tzeil, l'shem sukkah. You started with disqualified sukkah. Here says Rav Yosher Ber, big chiddush, that even Beis Hillel will agree that you have to when you pick up the schach, when you do the nenuah, it has to be l'shem mitzvah sukkah. Says the Gemara, how do we know the Rav, where can we prove the Rav holds you don't have to do this? Ki hader of Amrach Sida, Ramat chilta l'presumet de'en shebeisi. He put tzitzis on the garments of the people in his house, even the women. As Rashi explains, he held that women have to wear tzitzis. And he put on tzitzis on his wife's clothing. Asked Sfas Emes, who says that he held that the women have to wear tzitzis? Perhaps he held that women may wear tzitzis, just like women don't have to sit in the sukkah, but if they want it, they do. Just like women don't have to hear shayfah, but if they want, they may. So maybe they're not mechuyv to wear tzitzis, but if they want to, they may. Sfas Emes says two answers. First of all, the terminology of Roma is not something that's voluntary. Roma means that they had to do it. It was obligatory. Moreover, says the Sfas Emes, if a woman, interesting shot, if a woman's not allowed to wear tzitzis, then if a woman, there's a problem that the tzitzis, there's a din, la yilbish geva simlas isha. A woman's not allowed to wear a man's article of clothing. So if a woman doesn't have to wear tzitzis, then she's not allowed to wear tzitzis because she's over la yilbash. If he put on tzitzis, obviously it's not because it's voluntary. It's obvious because he held that she must, just like we must, just like men must. So ramat chelta le presumed en shebeisi. He put on tzitzis on his wife's clothing. Talon v'lo pasuk rosh echutin shlohem. So we have diagram 64. Normally, when tzitzis are applied, the way it's done is you start with four strands, and then those four strands are turned into eight. Here he started with one long strand, and he tied them and knotted them before he cut them into separate strands. Talon v'lo pasuk rosh echutin shlohem. Asl kamed rav chi barashi. Amlai hachi amirav, rav paskin, mefaskin vein ksherim. Just snip the bottoms and it's kosher. I, when you made the tzitzis, it was tassav alay menasui. Rav isn't concerned with it. Alma, psikoson, susiosin. When you snip it, that's called osui. Hachinami, rav will hold by our schach. Ktsitsoson, just cutting them off, zuhi asiosin. That's enough. And like the Rishonim explained, the Torah uses the word gedilim taslucha. So just like by sukkah there's a concept of tasluloy manosui, by tzitzit there's such a concept. The sav Shmuel, however, Shmuel disagrees, and he holds loyam rinim psikosin zuasiyosin. Va'atani Shmuel mishim rabchiyah, asked the Gemara, how could you say that? Shmuel speaks about a different case. Hitl shnei kronos v'bas achas. This is diagram 65. He puts the strands into two corners at the same time. Vachkach pasak rashi chutish lahem, and only after he put them into the holes, then he cuts it. Kshev, my laf shakai shvachkach paisik, that he first tied it and then cut. So even Shmuel agrees with Rav. Just cutting is enough. Says the Gemara, loy shpaisik vachkach kosher. What happened is he put it into the two holes and then he cut it before he made the knots. Ask the Gemara if that's the case. Paisik vachkach kosher, my lememra. If he cut it before he made any knots, so what's Shmuel teaching us? Answers the Gemara, Ma the Tamer, we would think, Be'inon, Knaf b'shas p'sil, that the Torah speaks about each corner being separate. And here, he put it into two corners at the same time. And that may perhaps be a disqualification. K'mashmon, that's not a disqualification. As long as when you made the knots, they were separate, the fact that you put it into the corners at the same time doesn't bother me. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, the Brisa says, Tolan v'loy pasuk rosh echutin shlohem, if somebody put the tzitzis into the holes and he didn't snip them, psulin, those tzitzis are forever disqualified. My lap psulin l'oilom v'tiyuf to the Rav. So here we have a question of Rav, because according to Rav, even if you tie them in such a way, as long as you cut them afterwards, it's fine. Amalak Rav, so Rav says, what's pshat in the Brisa? My psulim, psulim at shiyifsku. They're disqualified until you snip it. But once you snip it, it's fine. The Shmuel says, if when you tie the knots, they were connected into one long string, they remain disqualified forever. Psulim l'oilam. They're forever disqualified. The Kenam Levi, and so says Levi, psulim l'oilam. The Kenam Rav Masna Am Shmuel, psulim l'oilam, they're forever disqualified. Ikadamri, a different version. Amarav Masna, for the day have Uvda. I once had such a story where I applied the tzitzis to the holes and made the knots before they were in separate strands. Vasala kameda mashmul, vama psulm oil. They're forever disqualified. Meisvei, asked the Gemara, Talon, vakach rosh, pasak rosh chutishlam, if somebody put it into the holes, and then he snips it, psulim. So we have a kash on Rav, because Rav says that you could snip it. Furthermore, v'atanik abesukkah, there's a braiser regarding hilchas sukkah that says, like we explained in Amin Aleph, regarding the schach, tasa v'loy menosri. You have to make the schach when it's qualified. Mikan amr, and therefore the halach is, hidlah, the din that we learned in our Mishnah, hidlah as a gefim, as a blas, as a kisun, the sichagach, and then you put schach psula. Ask the Gemara hechidami. Exactly what is this brisa referring to? If you're talking that you did not disconnect these vines from the tree, so ask the Gemara, my yirimishim tasav lemanosui. Why is the brisa saying that the disqualification is tasav lemanosui? That's not that disqualification. The disqualification here is typically the mechubam ninu, that they're connected. Ella, what's the disqualification here? B'shekitzitzon, that you did cut them up, cut them off. Yet, what does the Braisa say? Psula. Why? Because if you only cut them after you ply them to the roof of the sukkah, if you're not menaneya, it's not kosher. So it's a kashan raf. Rav says as long as you disconnect them from the tree, it's adequate. Shmamina, the loyam rina kitzatzon zuasiyosan, different the Rav, but yufta the Rav, and Rav is refuted. Amlak Rav, hocha b'may skinen, til shofinu shalufe, t'lay minkura asiyadatu. So the machlokes rishonim, this is diagram 66. There's a machlokes rishonim how to understand this diagram. Rashi understands this diagram that the person did disconnect the leaves from the tree. However, there's such a mess there, it doesn't look like it's disconnected. So since it looks still connected, even Rav agrees that it's not kosher schach. That's how Rashi learns. Taisva seems to learn, if it's connected, it's connected, and if it's not connected, it's not connected. What's the difference? So Taisva says what happened here is that it's connected, that the actual bark of the tree is severed, but the peel is still somewhat connected to the tree. And that's why it halachically midaraisa is considered separate and is considered kosher sukkah. Rabbanon said that you should not sit in that sukkah unless you do at least some sort of a maisa to separate it more. However, ask the Gemara. So good. So even though the Braisa says that if you apply the mechubis schach and then you disconnect it, we have a way of explaining Rav. But the Braisa said another halacha. The Braisa said that if you've tied the tzitzis and then you cut them into separate strands, it's too late. Rav said it's not. Isn't that a refutation of Rav? Says the Gemara, that indeed is a kasha. But we have here, we've said it many times, there's a difference between when the Gemara says tiyufta or the Gemara says kasha. When the Gemara says tiyufta, it means he's refuted. When the Gemara says kasha, there's a kasha, but he's not refuted. So how are we going to answer Rav? So I saw three answers. One answer is that in the next Gemara we're going to see that perhaps the Gemara holds it's a machloikas tanoim. So Rav will indeed hold it's a machloikas tanoim, and he holds like the tanoim that it's fine. That's one way. Another answer is that even Rav agrees that if when you put on this long strand, this one long strand, and you didn't do it lishma, then that tzitzis is disqualified. And Rav will say that's the case of the Braisa. Another teretz tanoim stand Rav is that even though Rav holds you could cut them into separate pieces after you make the knots, that's only that while you made the knots, you had intention that you were eventually going to cut them. But let's say when you made those knots, you didn't have that intention. Even Rav will agree that it's possible. And that's what the Braisa is referring to. Before we go further, I saw two interesting shailas. One is interesting shaila aloch lemaisa regarding tasav leiman osri by tzitzis. Apparently, the shaila was already asked to the Marsham. Apparently, there were women, and the shaila is also in the Har Tzvi, or Tzvi Pesach Frank. Women came up with a way, you know, whenever you wash the tzitzis, the women complain, the tzitzis get ruined, they get tangled, they get ruined. So they came up with an interesting invention. You open up the corner of the tzitzis, insert the tzitzis into that corner, and then wash the tzitzis that way. So you're only really washing the beged, not the tzitzis. Now the question is that considered tasav leimana osui? Why? Because while you're wearing the tzitzis, if you have the tzitzis inserted in the corner, you're not mekayim mitzvah tzitzis. In fact, you're doing it aveir because you're wearing a four-cornered beged without proper tzitzis. So now the tzitzis became disqualified. When you pull them out, you're making them into tzitzis, but you didn't make them into tzitzis by making a knot. You just made them into tzitzis by pulling them out of the corner. So they both say the same answer. This is similar to a sukkah. What will be the halacha if somebody has a sukkah? And then he puts a covering on top of it. So the sukkah puts an awning. And then he opens up the awning. Is that called tasav leiman osri? Of course not. So the same thing here. Since when you made the tzitzis originally, you made them properly, even though they were temporarily disqualified, when you pull them out of the corner, they're kosher. But then there's another shaila. The Prima Gadim asked this shaila. Let's say you have a beged that's klayim, shatnas. So you're not allowed to put, you're not allowed to wear that beged. And while the beged is shatnas, he puts tzitzis on it. So what you did is unacceptable, because you couldn't wear that beged. It's not ashat chasaba. It's not a beged you could wear. And then after you put the, you tie the tzitzis onto the corner, then you take out the shatnas. Is that called tassav alei menosli? So they connect that shayla to the following shayla. What would be the halacha? It's a very relevant shayla. If somebody is making his sukkah and it's a rainy day, so he doesn't want to work in the rain, so he has an awning. So he works on his sukkah with the awning open. So when you made this sukkah, it was a disqualified sukkah. So is that a kosher sukkah or not? Some pesukim say that the awning doesn't disqualify the sukkah. Here too, the shatness is an outside problem, but it doesn't make the tzitzis possible. And others say, and this is halacha, that when you're making the, when you're applying the schach, you should make, if you have an awning, you should make sure that the awning is not open. Try working out on a rainy day. And therefore, if, just like there, if you put out the schach when the awning is open, it may be, remain a possible sukkah, here too, it may remain possible tzitzis. Says the Gemara, Lema Ketanoi. Perhaps this shayla is machlokas tanoi. We're going to learn a mitzvah shem later in the Masechta, the one of the dalaminim we all know are the hadassim. The hadassim sometimes grow with berries. The halacha is that you have to take off those berries. Says the Braisa of a velikta, if somebody went on Yontif and took off those berries, posel. Divarif Shimon. Berv Tzadik. They say it's kosher. Savruah. So they wanted to explain the machlokes this way. The kul amma lulav tzarech eged. Everybody holds that the lulav, aravos, and hadassim have to be tied together. V'yapin and lulav masukah. And furthermore, we learn hilchas lulav from hilchas sukkah. The ksiv gab sukkah. And just like by sukkah, the halacha is tasa v'loy min asui. So too by lulav. There's a halach of tassav alay v'nasui. So what is the basis of the machloikis between Rav Shimon Yitzadik and the Chachamim? My lab ha'kimifki. The man, the machshir, the one that says it's kosher, savrinin, savrinin gabi sukkah kitzasasin zuasiyasin, that even if you put the schach on when it was mechubber, if you connect it afterwards, it's fine. If you disconnect it afterwards, it's fine. Here too, even though when you put the hadassim into the bundle, they were disqualified, and if you want to see a diagram, it's diagram 67 of how hadassim with berry looks. So too, if you just take off the berry, even though you didn't, you made the bundle before, it's not an issue. Uman v'gabalul of nami lo emirin l'kitasan. Again, the man demachshet zavar mina gabesuka kitasan zuasiyasan. Snipping off the mechuber is enough. V'gabalul of nami emirin l'kitasan zuasiyasan. Uman the apostle. Sover loyim rinil gabes sukkah kitzasin zuasiyasin. The gabel lulav nami loyim rinil kitzasin zuasiyasin. We'll say that this machlokes of Rav and Shmuel is really a machlokes tanon. Ask Tosfos, why do we have to learn that the case happened on Yontif? Why don't we say that this happened on a weekday, even on Chol HaMoed? Says Tosfos, during the weekday it's no big deal. What's why? Because let's say, what's this? How are we describing the case here? You tied the three minim together, and when you put the hadassim in, they had the berries, and now you cut, take off the berries, and the question is that tassav alei menasui? During the week, you have no problem. Untie the bundle, and tie it again. But on yontif, you're not allowed to tie. So that eitzah you don't have. So now the question is very relevant. That's one way Tosfos explains the Gemara. Another way Tosfos explains the Gemara is that perhaps we would say that since when Yonta began, this was a disqualified lulav, because the hadassim had so many berries. Once it becomes disqualified at the beginning of Yontif, it's nitcha. It remains disqualified forever. That's what Shimon ben Yitzadik wants to teach us. There is no such concept. That even though at the beginning of Yontif it was disqualified, you could correct it on Yontif. So the way we're learning now, the machlokes of Shimon ben Yitzadik and the Chachamim is actually the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel. And that's how he answered Kasha before. Says Mar Loi. It's not necessarily. Loi. The Kula Amaloyam Rina Gabasukha Ksiyasan Zwasiyasan. Everybody could agree with Shmuel that just disconnecting the mechuber is not enough by sukkah. The gabalulav, I mean the kula am loy mean gab sukkah kitzosin zos yosin. For hocha, here the question is b'melef lula mesukkah kamiflegi. Do we learn lula from sukkah? Man the machshir, the one says that it's kosher loya pinan lula mesukkah. We don't learn lula from sukkah. So even though by sukkah there is a halacha of tasa loy menasui, that doesn't apply to lulav. Or mad apostle sava yapin and lulav mesukkah. We learn lulav from sukkah, and just like by sukkah there's a concept of tasa loy menasui, so too here. And the way Rashi explains, a gzera shava, a person can't make up. He has to have the kabbalah from his rebbe. So the man that says that we do learn and have such a gzera shava. The other man said we don't have such a gzera shava. Another way of explaining it, I saw the Aruch Lener explains very beautifully. How could you learn lulav from sukkah? Lulav is a mitzvah that only applies by day. Sukkah is a mitzvah that applies 24 hours a day. So the Aruch Lener says, no one ever wanted to learn from sukkah alone. They wanted to learn from sukkah and tzitzis together. The mandama that holds you could learn from tzitzis says because tzitzis only applies by day also. The man Dhamma that says you can't learn it because he holds that tzitzis applies by night. So both sukkah and tzitzis apply by night. Lulav, on the other hand, applies by day, and therefore you can't learn lulav from sukkah and tzitzis. Vibay Seima, isfil on the lulav tzarech eged. If the halach is that lulav must be tied together, then everybody will hold kulam lepligid the yalpin and lulav sukkah. Everybody will hold that we learn lulav from sukkah. For hach b'hakim afki. What's the machlokes here? Mas sover. Tzarech Eged. One mandama holds that the lulav has to be tied together, and therefore, if when the lulav was tied together, it was possible, just taking off the berries is tasav loy menasui. Masav ain't tzarech Eged. And the other mandama holds that it doesn't have to be tied together, so there's no tasav loy menasui because there's no din of tying it together. Or plucked it anit tonight, which is another machlokes that we're going to learn later in the Masechta. The Tanya lulav ben Ogid ben she'ena Ogid kosher. Doesn't make a difference if it's tied together or not. Yehuda ima ogid kosher, ain't ogid posel. My tamed of Yehuda, why does he hold that it has to be tied together? Yalaf lekich lekichem agudus ezov. The Torah told us that they had to take agudus ezov and other materials, tie them together, and apply the blood when they left from Mitzrayim. Ksiv hacha, ksiv hacha by the agudus ezov Mitzrayim, v'lekachtem agudus ezov. They don't learn that Xer Shava. Like we said, they didn't have such a Kabbalah. Ask the Gemara, Kaman Oz Lahada Tanya, Lulav Mitzvah L'Agdai. There's a mitzvah to tie the Lulav together. Vimloy Agda Kasha. If you didn't tie it together, it's Kasha. Ask the Gemara, Ir Yehuda, if it's going according to Yehuda, Kaloy Agda my Kasha. Yehuda says that we have a Xer Shava that we're required to get tied together. E Rabbanon, a my mitzvah. The Rabbanon don't learn the Gzeri Shava, so there's all mitzvah to tie the lulav together. Answers the Gemara, Oilam Rabbanon. The Gemara, this price is going to Rabbanon. And even though there is no Gzeri Shava, and there is no requirement to tie the lulav together, but there's another din. It's not a fun of a mitzvah. Mitzvah should be performed in the most beautiful manner, and it's much nicer when you tie the lulav together. Say to Mefarshim, the Steichemen discusses, if the mitzvah of Hiddu mitzvah, if the Indian of Hiddu mitzvah is a deraisa or derabbanan. So from here we have a right, it's only a derabbanan. Because if Hiddu mitzvah were a deraisa, so how are we saying that it's only a derabbanan? Derabbanan saying it's only a mitzvah derabbanan. If Hiddu mitzvah is a deraisa, it should be considered back to being a deraisa, that you have to tie the lulav together. Maybe not because of the gzeri shava, but because of the concept of Hiddu mitzvah. So from here we have a raya that hid the mitzvah is only the rabbanon. Others want to say that hid the mitzvah is a very interesting concept. It's a deraisa, but the rabbanon have the right to apply it where they feel fit. So it's sort of a combination of a deraisa and the rabbanon. It's a deraisa concept, but it's up to the rabbanon to tell us where to apply it and where not to apply it. The Mefarshim make a very interesting comment. You know, on the last day of Sukkot, the minig is that we leave the Sukkot, we say a tefillah. And the tefillah is that just like we were zoicha to sit in the sukkah this year, Ken Eska, we should be worthy lishevis leishev besukkah shal oira shal of yosin, the sukkah of that will be made out of the skin of the large fish that will be captured when Mashiach comes. So the question is, we just learned that's possible schach. It's so how could you say that nusach? So actually, there are a lot of people that have the nusach. They don't say besukkah shel oirish shel v'yosan. They just say besukkah shel v'yosan. In the sukkah that will be when we eat that suda, but not from the v'yosan because it's pasul schach. Others say that the oiri doesn't refer to the roof; it refers to the walls. The walls, the roof, we said have special halachas, but not the walls. Mitzvah Hashem, we should not consider in that sukkah.